would not only visit a topic that I feel is very important to discuss, but I am also excited to have my son Michael with me today. Michael is my youngest son, number four son. And
hey, you remembered. That's great.
He's also my youngest child. Michael is married to Michelle, and together they have two little boys who are darling, if I do say so myself.
Yes, that is true.
Michael also has a master's in marriage and family counseling and is currently practicing in the Springville, Utah area. Michael and I are going to discuss helping our children with their mental health, and we're going to discuss how to recognize signs, how to get the help our children need, and then what role or what part we play in all of that. Regardless of the issues that you are facing with your children, I think this discussion will be helpful. But our opinions and discussions are going to be limited to where I have had some experience as a mom. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah. So excited. Thanks for bringing me on.
Always. Whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about. It's just so fun to have you. It's so fun to do this with you. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but I love you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know.
Wow, that changes a lot. Okay. That's good to know. No, I think I told you the first time you brought me on, but it's always been my dream to be on a podcast. And so the fact that I didn't mess it up enough to where you invited me back, I feel pretty awesome inside.
Yeah, no, the one we did before was great. And as a mother, making my children's dreams come true. I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah, you never stop. You never stop being a mom.
You never stop. Let's just get right into our first talking point, recognizing anxiety in our children. I think, not backed by science, I don't know if in your studies this has been discussed.
Okay. But I love whatever's about to come out. I love whatever you're about to say.
I feel like that our children are born with certain anxiety disorders. Caroline, my daughter, she has OCD. And I'm just saying that she was born at 6 p.m. on the dot.
Which is so Caroline. If you didn't know Caroline, that is so her.
That is so her. And although that's true, in all seriousness, as I can look back on my children's lives and the different memories I have, they just come like they come. You know, when Caroline was little and I didn't know that she had OCD, she would start a game or she would start a project before going to bed. She was probably 4 or 5. And so I would say to Caroline, it's time for bed. If it wasn't finished, she would lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing what it was, I handled that just awesome. Anybody's read my book understands that joke there.
Yeah,
and I would say, Caroline, you know, come on, it's bedtime. Let's go. I'd pick her up. She'd be screaming.
So just not realizing that you're completely invalidating all the anxiety.
Totally. Yeah, that's right. That's
yes.
Right.
Yep.
That's
yep.
Right. Right, yep. Sing her a song, say our prayers, and put her to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's an interesting theory that you bring up, because I remember, I don't know, but I remember as a young kid, looking back my life, those are definitely anxious and OCD things, even from a very young age. And we even see it a little bit in Manning, who's only 3.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, right? Who knows what's going to happen the next years, but we even notice things that I would do that he's doing, right? Or just some sensory things, or just he walks by a door and he has to stop and turn around and close it before he can move on with life, right?
Yeah.
He's just starting to do things that you're like, whatever it is, there's gotta be genetic biological predispositions for things.
I think so. And I bring that up too, because I think the earlier we can recognize it, then the earlier we can validate it and help our children through it.
Totally.
You know, one of the things that presented with you is the looping of checking of doors and windows.
Mm-hmm. And even now as a grown, I find myself making sure I lock all the doors locked. And honestly, I've just given myself to that part of the OCD. I'm like, this is just me.
And I think that is such a valid and important point. It just is what it is.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, Eric has a lot of anxiety. And when he was little, it would present in his stomach. He would always say, my stomach hurts. I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I don't think I can go to school today. And finally, I said, you know, Eric, sweetie, you've had 10 absences.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a fever. You know, we kind of talked through it.
Yeah.
And we decided that he would go to school. And when he would go on field trips, he would ask me to promise to stay home the whole time they were on the trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He could not at the time explain to me why that was important to him. But as we've talked later, when he was an adult, he just said, I needed to know how I could get a hold of you if I needed you.
Yes.
He needed to know where I was.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I think that these are all things that we can see in our children.
Totally. And I think what you just talked about, if I could just kind of throw in my two cents there, what you said about Eric feeling it in his stomach with the anxiety. One thing that can be so helpful for parents is to understand there's a lot of value in helping the child recognize where they feel it in their body.
Right.
Because with anxiety, especially for a young kid who doesn't know what's happening, the whole process can be just really overwhelming. And there's a lot of power talking through with the kid, like, where are you feeling it right now in your body? Mm-hmm. Where are you feeling? What emotions are you feeling? Are you feeling them in your stomach? Are you feeling them in their head? Just kind of doing a body scan with the kids can help ground them a little bit and help them kind of better conceptualize what's happening in the experience for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Some advice that I had gotten from your counselors was that it is so important for the child or the person, even as an adult, to be in charge of their anxiety. And I say, your brain's not the boss of you.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely.
And you're owning the fact that you're going to check a door.
Yes, totally.
You're like, you know what? I'm not working on that one. I'm not.
Or at least I'm not working on it yet. Right. Like not tonight. I'm just going to do it. And that's okay. I'm not defined by the fact that I have to go check a door right now.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So let's talk about having these discussions with our children. You know, how do we talk with our kids? How do we bring up this subject? How do we make them feel safe to come to us?
Yeah. Honestly, I think you guys were really well set up to handle my mental health because by the time it got to me, this was no longer your first rodeo, right? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like because of your experience with older siblings, by the time it got to me, you guys just kind of had an eye for what to look for.
Everybody can thank Caroline because she was so vocal.
Yeah.
And so worried and not understanding what was going on in her brain. So when we went and got her help, I saw all my kids differently. I saw everything for what it was.
Yes.
And everybody benefited from that.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious for you when it was your first rodeo, right? What were some of the big learning experiences that you and Dad had that trained you to be able to start having those conversations more effectively with the kids?
Well, that's a good question. I think at first when Caroline started coming to us, it was just worry. Our child is in pain.
Yeah.
We did not understand. We didn't have a name for it. We just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first thing was just love for this child that was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea how to help her. So we finally decided to call Dad's sister, Janet. We knew she had had some counseling and we thought, well, maybe she can give us some insight, and decided that this was, you know, a good place to start. And we explained to her what was going on and told her our main concern really was, you know, to understand what was happening so that we could help her. And she said, she's got classic OCD, take her to a counselor. And I just all of a sudden felt like, okay, there's a name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yep.
It's classic.
Yeah. Classic. It makes you sound kind of cool, right?
Right.
Like classic. Right. You're classic.
Yeah. The doctors aren't going to go, I don't know how to help her. I don't know what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we needed to get into with professionals.
Yeah.
And then I purchased books, and I also tried really hard to understand their language. No matter what they said to me, no reaction.
Yeah.
Just love and concern.
Yeah. I remember that very vividly as a young kid telling you about thoughts that I thought were so weird and so illogical, and it made me feel self-critical, right? And just felt, I felt so different and kind of icky with these thoughts, right? And you and Dad showing me that I'm still a normal kid.
Because you are.
Yeah. Totally. And it wasn't me having those thoughts. It was the OCD, right? That's like, right. I was separate from my OCD.
That's right. Caroline took a class at BYU, and I think that the professor was inspired, because at the end of the class, I can't even remember what they were talking about, but he said, you know, just remember that your soul does not reside in your brain. That was such a key for her. I mean, really, your brain is an organ, just like your gallbladder is an organ, and it is just misfiring, and that is all that is happening.
Yeah. And that's such a healthy perspective. It's hard for, especially for the kid, to understand that perspective a lot of times, because your gallbladder is not working. Well, you don't have any like feelings of self-worth attached to your gallbladder, right?
It does not attack your self-esteem.
Exactly. When your mind, when there are misfirings happening, some chemical imbalances happening, what's hard is that thoughts just feel so distressing, right? So it's our knee-jerk reaction to attach our self-worth to our thoughts.
That's right.
It just might take a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of normalizing as the parent, and a lot of validating as the parent to help the kid finally understand that perspective a little bit.
I think the other big key that I learned in working with my children is that anxiety is not logic based.
Right.
So using logic in a conversation is not going to work. When you were younger, you would say to me, Mom, when you leave to go to the store, I'm afraid that intruders will come.
Right.
And I would say back to you, you know, don't be afraid. We live in a very safe neighborhood. And what that does, it tells you that I don't believe you. And now I've given extra pressure is put on you with the anxiety, because now you are the only one that knows that this is going to happen. And not only do you know that it's going to happen, but now you feel pressure that it is up to you to take care of the situation and keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
I think another really good example of this trying to help your children logic their way out of anxiety is with Caroline. For a while, she does it now, because that's the other thing with OCD. Things change. What you worry and obsess over now, you know, can change.
Totally, which is why it's so exhausting.
Yeah. Right?
There's always a new thing. There's always a new thing. Yeah.
When we would make a dish with red meat, she was afraid that the germs from the red meat were going throughout the house and were all going to hurt us.
Yeah.
Try to explain logically how germs are, that, you know, whatever is in the red meat stays in the red meat. And, you know,
yeah.
She would just absolutely just panic.
Yeah. Yes.
Because how is she going to keep us all safe? Because when you have OCD and when you have general anxiety, you are always right.
Always right.
Always correct. Yeah.
The responsibility is on you.
Yeah.
Because no one else gets it but you. You get it. And so it's a crushing weight on you to like, if those germs travel and get my family sick, it's all my fault.
It's all our fault. And at the time we had our oldest daughter, Melanie, and her little kids living with us. And so she would try to pick up the babies and take them away. And, you know, I remember Caroline describing to me when she was about 11, Mom, I wake up and I'm happy. It's the morning. And then I just, it all comes crashing in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that also underscores the need to give them the help that they need.
Absolutely. And honestly, I feel like this, like currently in society, this is the best chance we've ever had with mental health, right? Like it's coming to the forefront. It's the stigma is way less than it ever has been. I feel like, like parent, and there's books, there's so many resources. Parents do not have to they don't have to guess and feel like they're on their own, right? There's so many resources available.
You know, let me give a little perspective. My grandmother, obviously your great grandmother, was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Now she was 30 and it was probably in the 40s or 50s. And the solution to that was to institutionalize her. And she lived for 20 years in that facility and died when she was 50. So yeah, we've come a long way, certainly since then.
Yes.
And the fact that we can talk about it. you know, openly, and, you know, talk about it with our children as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're not going to logic our way out of it. I wasn't going to, you know, make them feel better with my soothing words. I realized I needed to learn their language. And so that became my goal, was to talk to my kids in a way that, you know, that their brains would understand how their brain worked, and be able to talk to them in a way that would help them, or, you know, break that loop. But once I understood that, my goal became to figure out how to talk to my kids in a way that their brains could understand.
Yes. And so, like, you know, me and Caro had some mental health issues, right? Did you find that our language even differed the way I talked about it versus the way she talked about it?
Yeah, I could sometimes take things and cross them over, especially using some of those techniques that the counselor taught us. But in the end, your brain processing and Caroline's brain processing your different anxieties was a little different. Sometimes the things that worked with Caroline wouldn't work for you. And sometimes the things I used for you wouldn't work for Caroline. And so I really had to learn each of your languages and how to communicate with you regarding your anxieties. I was thankful for everything I could figure out.
I use this analogy that you've got a track and you're trying to fit something into the track. And then finally, you say the right thing, they figure out the right thing, and you just, that click when it fits into the track, and they finally have some peace. And I call it, you know, breaking the loop. And then you can just visibly see the sigh and relief.
And I remember one time with you, do you remember the McDonald's thing when you went about the French fries? And do you remember that story?
No, I don't. What
well,
is
you'll
this?
Remember it when I tell you the end of it, but you had gone camping with the scouts.
Okay.
And you were all dirty and your hands were dirty, and you went and got French fries.
Oh, this is coming back. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And you called me. I mean, you couldn't even wait till till you got home. And you were saying, hey, Mom, we had French fries and I didn't want to eat them with my dirty hands.
So I pulled my shirt over my hands, and then I used my shirt, you know, to pick up the French fries and eat the French fries.
Which we could argue the logic of that idea.
When you got home, that shirt was so filthy.
Yeah, exactly.
And you said, Mom, was that smart or anxiety?
Yeah.
And we still use that.
Totally. Absolutely.
Because you have to help the child identify for him or herself what is smart, what are prudent precautions to take.
Yes. Yes.
And what is actually anxiety? And then let's work with the anxiety.
Yes. And I think that that process can happen when the parents, I think, repeatedly do their best to show that they are a safe sounding board for their kid.
That you can, they can bring them these things. Hey, what, Mom, what do you think? This is what I did. This is how I'm feeling. And then we learned a lot from your counselor.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My counselor was awesome. He would talk about when you get an anxious thought, saying, is first evaluate if it's possible and then evaluate if it's probable.
Right.
And his whole thing was, with OCD and anxiety, a lot of the ways you overcome it is by small victories that build up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't immediately feel this pressure to cure your kid of all their anxiety, but take small steps, right? And so he would say, once you check the doors once, you go back in bed and you have the thought, oh my gosh, maybe the doors are all unlocked again, right? Which was a fear that my kids have. And he would say, now, is it possible that between you locking the doors and you going back to your bed, that they all got unlocked? Is it possible that maybe your mom went through and unlocked the doors? I'm like, yeah, I guess that's possible. And he'd say, okay, yeah. Now, is it probable? Yeah. What's the probability that happened? And I'd say, probably really low. And he'd say, okay, still possible, but it's not super probable. So does this feel like something you could take a risk on tonight? You're going to have to risk it, but it's a pretty good risk to take, right?
Right.
And he would just kind of help me do small victories over and over again until it helped my anxiety go down. I'm like, okay, yeah. And that just was really helpful to go through that process.
Yeah. I just can't emphasize enough the need that to get outside help.
Yeah.
The advice that I was giving is that when anxiety overtakes life, keeps our child from their childhood, it's time to move outside of the home. And it doesn't mean that the home isn't involved.
Right. In fact, they're going to be at that home way more than they're going to be with a therapist, right? Like the home has to be involved.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. We talked about some of the tools that you learned as a child. Do you still use those now as an adult?
Possible and probable is a big one. I got that phrase, I got to take a risk, is a big one. That's what he'd always say. He's like, so you got to take a risk. I was like, yeah, you're right. I just got to take a risk, right?
Just got to do it.
I just got to see, right? I've got to not feed into the compulsion one time and just see if my worst fear does come true. Right. I got to take that risk.
Right.
Which is uncomfortable really at first, but you do it enough and it's very self-validating, right? Another big one that I feel like my psychologist was just so good at is he was really good at just externalizing the OCD. And what that means is like, when you're a kid with OCD, you feel like you are so defined by that OCD.
Right.
And you just feel like, my brain is broken. I'm broken. What is wrong with me? I have these thoughts. He was so good at breaking that cycle of me just feeling so fused to the OCD, right? He'd say, here's you, Michael, and here's OCD. And you're living your life. And OCD just kind of follows you and it gives you these thoughts. And those thoughts are the OCD. That's not you. And that's been really good. He was just so good at like, when I get a weird intrusive thought, just normalizing it, just being able to say, instead of going through self-dialogue of, wow, I'm such a weirdo for having that thought, or something's wrong with me, instead of being able to say, whoa, that was an OCD thought.
Right.
There that was. And I'm just going to move on because that's the OCD, not me.
Yeah. I love
that. Does that make sense? Kinda
totally.
He was so good at helping me do that. And that still helps.
Yeah. And I think that goes along with your soul does not reside in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. And just normalizing, right? Yeah. Like no judgment to it. Just I have a weird intrusive thought. Time to move on.
That's the OCD. And that cuts that loop. Because I think when you have these things that you're dealing with, it's enough that you're dealing with the loops and the obsessions. But then your brain really likes to have fun and say, well, now that you've had that thought, that means that you are a bad person. And I guess the best example I have of that is in our house in Texas, we had a bush right by the front door. It had these small red berries that were poisonous if ingested. One day, Caroline was coming into the house and she touched a berry and then she began to worry, if I've touched this berry that's poisonous, and if I touch somebody else with my hand, then they are going to die. And pretty soon she's spiraling. And, you know, the only conclusion Caroline could come to was that she was a bad person for touching that berry. And it's nothing but the brain misfiring, but at the same time, so painful for the person having these thoughts. And if you can't talk that out,
right?
If somebody can't help you move that aside and say, well, that was an OCD thought.
Right.
Because you're not going to use logic. It isn't going to happen. And what does happen is when you have children that are dealing with this, they just keep spiraling and spiraling. Now, Eric is older than Caroline. And so as Caroline opened our eyes, we had to do some back work with Eric.
Yeah.
He had anybody to discuss this with. And so you get to start feeling like the darkness is your place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's where you belong. And there's never an end to this. There's never an out.
Yep.
And that's where our Eric was.
And in our efforts to let him be in charge, we would suggest counseling and we would point to how much it's helped his other siblings. But he didn't want to hear anything about it.
Well, one of his anxieties was driving, because with his OCD, he felt like he might be driving down a road and then you get down the road and you think,
I think I hit something.
And then you have to go back and check.
Yeah.
And that was too much.
It can be
for
pretty,
anybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And yeah. That can get in the way of your life pretty significantly. If you're feeling
absolutely.
You gotta take return trips, which is a pretty common manifestation of OCD and anxiety. Yeah. Yeah.
So his dad took him down, got his license, and dad said, okay, you've got your license, drive home. He couldn't do it. And yeah. He said, dad, I want you to drive. And dad said, no, you've got your license. You drive.
Yeah.
And he said, dad, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And dad said, fine, that's fine. I will drive home. But this is an acknowledgement that you need help.
Mm.
And if I drive home, we're setting up counseling for you.
Wow.
And he agreed. So even though we do let our kids be in charge of it, sometimes we do need to step in.
For sure.
And find a way. Yeah.
Totally. That is such a delicate balance as a parent of, you never want to your kid to feel like they're being dragged to therapy. And at the same time, you've got to do what you feel like is best for your child, right?
Right.
And so I just think it can be so helpful as the parent, just normalizing it as much as possible with the kid. And I love that story you just shared, because I feel like that just like captures so well that whole process that you just spelled out right there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did all that to try and normalize, try and talk about it with Eric, and then also fulfill the parent role of listen, here's what needs to happen for your own well-being and safety.
Yeah. Each of our children needed different things, and Eric certainly needed counseling. One thing that we haven't talked about is sometimes we need medicine. With Caroline, her counselor said, we need to get her some medicine or I can't work with her. We can't get past.
Yeah.
We need some help with the medicine. Yeah. So we did. And after a little bit, she came running down and she goes, Mom, I don't have a conscience anymore. I love it.
Just that weight finally lifted off.
It certainly did not, quote, cure her. It did not take away any, but it gave her the freedom and the ability to be able to look at things in a different way and then be able to workshop them through.
Totally. Medication's really good at turning the heat down.
Yes.
So that things in therapy can actually make get some traction.
Right.
And can I just make a point here of the importance of just for family therapy?
Yeah.
I would just really encourage parents to find a therapist that's okay with the parents sitting in every now and then. Just be a part of it to the extent that's comfortable for you and your child to have you in the room with them. I'm not saying like all the time be in there, but it'd be so helpful for parents to be able to be in that space and to hear what the therapist is sharing with the kid. Right. I think a lot of times what happens is parents who maybe don't know about how to navigate whatever mental illness their child's having, sometimes parents will come, drop the kid off of therapy, and then they leave.
Right.
Not realizing you've got to be a part of that process.
Right. And it doesn't matter how good of a therapist you have, your kids are still going to take their cues from the parent.
Yes, totally.
Because they're gonna look for the parent to validate what the counselor just told them.
Yes.
The counselor said, you're great just the way you are.
Right. And if the parents aren't given that same message, then boom, blow up in your face. Right. Yeah.
No counseling in the world is going to work. And so I think that's great advice about the counseling and your suggestion about books. And we will put a list of books and some websites for parents in the show notes for sure.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Michael, before we end our discussion, do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Absolutely. My thought is, it might sound a little too simple, but incredibly helpful. And I think we struggle with it as parents, and rightly so, because sometimes when our kid comes with anxiety or OCD, we tend to get in this mode of like, whoa, I don't know what this is, but whatever it is, I got to fix it because I love and I care about my child. I don't want them to hurt like this. But I was actually with a client of mine. It was a mother and a daughter, and the daughter would share her anxiety or her depression. And the mom, because she was so worried about helping her child, would immediately jump in and try and fix it, right? whether it's like, oh no, I don't think what you're thinking is the case, or that doesn't make any sense, or you're perfect, like don't think that, right? Like like really trying to jump in. And what we did is I actually showed him a clip from the movie Inside Out, which, have you seen Inside Out, Mom?
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because okay. I'm sure that is how our brains work. We have people up there.
It has to be. Like, yeah. It's the only model that makes sense.
That's right. Exactly.
In all my research. But it's the scene where the main character's imaginary friend that has entered the picture, mm-hmm. and all of the memories are being wiped away from her and her imaginary friend. And sadness and joy are both there. And the imaginary friend is bawling, crying, so hurt, right? That all of the memories are being wiped. And after all of their shared memories get wiped, he's sad. He's trying to talk about it. And Joy jumps in and is like, no, look, everything's fine. We're good. And doesn't work. And then sadness comes in. I think this is supposed to be the crux of the movie, right? Is this scene. And sadness just sits down and says, oh, wow, you seem really sad. And then sadness just sits with him for like a good solid 2 minutes and just validates and accepts what he's and creates such safety in him just to share it. And Joy's in the background being like, what are you doing? Like, stop talking to him about this. You're just going to make it worse. Right.
Yeah.
But sadness just stays in that space. And I think that's so powerful for parents to think when your child comes to you, these things, just sit in that space with them. And the anxiety is going to try and tell you to fix it, but don't listen to the anxiety. And instead just try and just ask your kids questions more than you talk, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
And try and understand as much as possible what your kid is saying. Mm-hmm. So if they feel understood, then they'll feel safe and they'll feel more ready to open up to you more in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. You know, we've confined our discussion to general anxiety and OCD, but there are so many more disorders and illness out there. And I just want to tell parents that are dealing with mental illnesses with their children, they and their children are brave and courageous every single day. They get up and slay their dragons and encourage you to learn about what is going on with your child and to try and get your child the help. That they need. And I'm just so glad that we're able to talk about this today. I'm so glad that as a community, as a society, we've had some really brave individuals that have stood up in this world and on social media and in their communities and say, I'm not doing well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, Rich's sister did that for our family. You know, 20 years ago, she said, I'm not okay. Yeah. And I need counseling. And that opened the door for
it changes lives.
It does. You know, talk about how you felt when you were a kid and where you are now as an adult. Does it get better? Is there a better?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Just to jump into that space as a young kid, especially with anxiety and OCD, you just feel so overwhelmed by it. It just weighs so heavy. And it's really cool to see that, like, yeah, do I still have OCD tendencies? Totally. Do I still have anxiety? Totally. Right. Mm-hmm. To a certain extent, everyone has it, but there's so much help out there. And it's just cool to see that things get better.
Yeah.
Like it does. And, yeah. And there's so many resources out there if you are willing to explore them and try them, but it does, it feels like there's no hope when you're in the moment of it sometimes.
Right. And here you are, you going to school, you're going to help other people with, you know, in their lives and their challenges. I'm sure you never foresaw a time in which you would ever maybe even be this open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is helped by gradually over time, realizing that you're not defined by whatever mental illness is following you around. Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
Everyone's life is so much more robust and full than just OCD or anxiety or depression or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And if you allow people and let them pull you up out of the pit, you know, there is a better. There is a better.
Absolutely. Totally.
And so our hats certainly go off to all those courageous people that deal with mental illness every single day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for talking with me about this really important topic.
Mom, we could be talking about anything. Just thanks for bringing me back on. It was so fun for me to be on with you.
I know. I just love you. And I just love talking to you. We have the greatest conversations about
it's always fun.
Anything. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for all that are listening. If you see patterns with your children or yourself, please reach out, find a good counselor, read books, talk with your child. And please remember, always remember this, but especially in an area where you're going to feel overwhelmed and certainly out of your league, do your best and remember that you are doing better than you think.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I will bill you.
Yeah. How many mom hugs is this going to cost me?
It's a steep. I mean, you're looking at least 10. Oh, at least 10 goodness. Mom hugs.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, it might be worth it.
Okay. I'm sure you give you a
big hug. Like a Zoom hug. Yeah. Zoom hug.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I love you so much, Mama.
Love you too. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.